To each of you, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you here at Creekwood. I always feel welcome here. I have many friends here from years past, and I stand in awe at the ministry team that you have assembled here at Creekwood. I always enjoy being around Ricky Butts. Anytime I can spend time with Ricky, I really cherish those moments. Ricky and Frida took Sherry and me to get some Bubba Gump shrimp Friday night, and it was some good eating. They were very gracious hosts, but I admire the Butts so much. And David Sargent, David and Patrice, we feel like are our own. They were students at Faulkner years ago. I think that was in the 1900s, wasn't it? Yeah. Admire and appreciate so much their work in the kingdom. What a great team. What a great work you're doing. And Eric and Haley Gray, who are supposed to be at the Prattville congregation, but you guys have wooed them away from us. And we've just about surrendered ourselves to the idea that they're not coming back. We miss their influence and their fellowship, and I know you realize what a great find you have in them. And their family's growing. They have a beautiful family. But what a team you have assembled here. And what a great church this is, and all the great things that you're accomplishing, I really appreciate. I appreciate that you have put emphasis on family this weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed yesterday, and I hope the people that attended had as much fun as I did. But thank you for letting us be a part of that, and thank you for your focus and emphasis on families. What kind of lessons do you bring to help people with their families? I know that every single lesson that I have chosen this weekend does not fit everybody. This may be one of those, but I'm convinced that this will apply in some of our lives. You know, there isn't a perfect family, is there? Because all of our families are made up of people, and people have problems and challenges, and they face difficulties in their lives. So there are no perfect families, and there are no perfect parents, there are no perfect children. God knows that. But sometimes our children don't turn out the way that we had trained them to turn out and had prayed that they would turn out. In fact, I have two children, and there are several things about them that turned out in ways that I didn't expect and had not planned for. But we do the best that we can as parents. We leave the rest to God. But there may be some of us today in this auditorium who have children that have left the church or have left the faith, who are unfaithful at this hour. Maybe they were once following Jesus, but for whatever reason they have stopped going to church. Donnie, would you speak to my son? He's unfaithful at this hour. He turned his back on the Lord. What unspeakable pain that is. A lady asked who had raised two sons and thought that she'd done a pretty good job. She taught them to respect the Word of God, and she asked the question, why did one of my sons decide to live for Jesus and the other one took a totally different path? I know something of that pain personally. In my parenting journey, I have experienced some of that. So I'd like to share with you today briefly some ways that have helped me to find comfort, to find strength, to find hope in turbulent times of parenting. And I really hope that these ideas will help you. First, let's remember that you and I are in a spiritual battle. It would be one thing if we could walk into a ring and put on boxing gloves and see who our opponent was, if we could see the devil, and we could throw a punch or two, and we could dominate him. That would be nice, but it's not a physical battle that we fight. And the fatigue that you and I know at times comes from sleepless nights or anxious days or the memory of a terrible conflict with your child. And these are hard, hard things to deal with. But we have to realize that beyond real flesh and blood, there's a real war going on for the souls of our children. That Satan is alive and well. And I'm just not willing to give in to Satan. I am not willing to lose my children. And so I want to do all that I possibly can with the energy that God has given me to use my influence to see to it that they're faithful to the Lord and living on the path of righteousness. God's word says it this way in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, I don't know all that those passages mean, but I do know that it describes a spiritual battle that is raging. There may be a number of reasons why your loved one or my loved one has chosen not to walk with the Lord. But Paul said in that last passage that one of the reasons is that Satan has blinded the eyes of many so that they cannot see the beauty of Jesus the way that you and I see that beauty perfectly today. Therefore, I'm coming to believe so strongly that our prayers must be persistent. Our love must be steadfast for those who are not following Christ. And of course, we're not fighting people on this. Our sons are not the opponents. Our daughters are not the ones that are battling against us. They're our children. We love them. Not even their friends are our opponents. The devil is the enemy. He's the one that's fighting against us and against them. And our task, as hard as it may be, is to continually pray that God will help us defeat Satan and the grip that he has on our loved ones so that they'll see clearly and respond to the gospel. It's helpful to remember this, too, that we can't nag our children. That's not going to bring them closer to Christ. They may even raise their defenses against our message. What we need, what you and I need more than anything, is to trust God and to pray to Him confidently and regularly and keep on loving that child. One parent I heard praise to the Lord in words like this: Lord, please open my child's eyes and give him ears to hear so that Satan will flee from him. I know that if you have a prodigal son or daughter, you're no doubt praying that same sentiment. Pray it regularly. Pray it confidently. Pray it without ceasing. I love the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It describes King Jehoshaphat and a tremendous army of enemies that he faced. And a prophet came to King Jehoshaphat and said, King Jehoshaphat and all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast array or army. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. What a sentiment. What a sentiment. And all throughout my parenting adventure, that thought has given me comfort. That these children are not really my children, they're God's children. God is with me in this battle. He wants what I want for my children. Well, that very day, God did defeat the enemies of Jehoshaphat. We serve a great God. We serve a God that loves us and loves our children and wants what's best for us and them. The good news is that Jesus Christ is with us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What we need to do is daily depend on Him. Also, let's realize that this crisis may draw us nearer to the Lord. After all, when a child rebels against God, the parents oftentimes feel like it's their mistake. What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? Doubt and guilt can swirl in our minds and put us in a pit of despair. So let me encourage you. Let me urge you to resist those self-condemning thoughts. After all, we've all failed in one sense of the word, in one way or another as parents. None of us is perfect. No parent is perfect. No child is perfect. No family is perfect. Be honest with the Lord. And when you pray, confess your sins and confess your failures. And ask Him for His forgiveness, and He'll give it. But remember that our children and our grandchildren are responsible for the decisions that they make. So, if we've offended our children, ask them for forgiveness. Tell them what you've done wrong as a parent. Admit your mistakes. They may not know what to do with that at first, but they'll hear you and they'll respond favorably, I'm confident. When you've done the right thing, the bottom line is we've got to leave failures and sins at the foot of the cross of Jesus and move on, walking with God, realizing that God, the Heavenly Father, also suffers with us. After all, God has children who are imperfect. God, our Father, has those that He has created and brought into this world who have forsaken His way, who have left Him. God really is a parent in pain also. He knows our struggles. He knows our broken heart. Ever since the Garden of Eden, God has had to deal with rebellious children. But God tells us to seek His strength and enjoy His cloak of comfort around us. What a great, great privilege and blessing that is. That we serve a God who's concerned about us. A God who loves us. A God who extends His peace and His comfort to us. And remember Psalm 34:18, if you're particularly struggling right now. The Lord says this, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." We serve a God of comfort. Sherry and I have two grown children, David and Sarah. And we remember those parenting days very vividly. And we oftentimes have discussions about, remember when? What could we have done differently? There were some days of celebrating great victories. There were some days when we needed somebody's shoulder to cry on, a hand to pat us on the back. So Psalm 34:18 is a very precious verse to us. I remember, for example, one night sitting by the front door, and it was after midnight, and I was waiting for one of my children to come home. I didn't know what was going on with my child. What a helpless feeling that was. Are there any children in this audience today? When your parents ask you to come in at a certain time or give them a call and let them know where you are, please do that. It was during some of those days that the word prodigal became a real word to me. No longer words on a page in the Bible, but real in my life. But let me tell you the good news. God's comfort guided us through that. My child did come home that night. There's a debate about whether or not you should spank a child. I certainly think when by the time they're teenagers, you don't need to be spanking them. So I didn't consider spanking that child that night. I did consider murder at that particular occasion, but not spanking. So let me encourage you to allow the pain of a child or a grandchild who has left the Lord to draw you closer to God. He'll give you the strength that Christ has promised us. Remember this too, that He'll become more real to us and closer to us as we trust His Word and stay in His promises. God can use this event in our lives, this experience, to mold us and shape us into the people that He wants us to be. He'll teach us to depend on Him even more than we have in the past. And let me emphasize that. As we cope with this problem or any problem, we need to draw closer to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says it this way. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God cares for us. The God who created the world invites you and me to place our burdens into His loving care. Turning our children over to God may be the most difficult thing that we ever do. But really, that's what we have to come to. And the first time I gave David the keys to the car and he took off, I had to turn him over to God. And that's what we must do. Let me tell you about, from very personal experience, that giving a child to God is absolutely necessary. A hurting parent once said, "I can't see the whole picture, so I must give God the chance to work in His way, in His time." And that's so true. The father in Luke 15 let his much-loved son go. Isn't it amazing that he gave that son that money and let him go with it? But he did. He didn't run after him. He didn't try to stop him. He let his son freely make the choice. And then the father in that story waited for that son. And the larger message there is, this is God, the Heavenly Father. And if you, His children, have wandered away, He's looking for you to come home. He's waiting. But for the sake of our illustration and for our needs today, as far as our families go, if we have a child who has wandered off, we need to be waiting, looking, anticipating their coming back. I heard about a father once and a son standing looking at each other. This was a father and a teenage son. Teenage son had messed up again. He'd done some foolish teenage thing that all of us as teenagers have done at one time or another. And it scared his mom and his dad. He stands there with his eyes lowered, his head lowered and braced. And the father, looking out the window, slowly begins and says, "Son, I don't have control over you. You know that. I don't have control, but son, I do have responsibility." And he says, "So what do I do? What would you have me to do?" The son looks up and he's listening carefully now, but he's still silent. The father goes on. He says, "I only know that's the way Jesus feels about me. Responsible, but not controlling. And all I can do is what He does, love you. Love you to the very end and trust you." Well, that son's eyes moistened. His face softened, and slowly the boy and dad became one again. But what that father did was he surrendered his son to the Lord. Try this. Each morning say, "God, my children, my grandchildren are yours. I am surrendering their welfare and their care to you." If you're really hurting right now as a parent, never give up on your children. One of the most powerful stories I've read is of a parent's persistence in prayer is one of a great Christian theologian of the 4th century. His name is Augustine. He led a very immoral life the first 30 years of his life, but he had a faithful mother named Monica who prayed for him. All the days of his life, she prayed for him. And finally, after many years of pushing the faith away, Augustine came back to his belief in God and his son Jesus. Shortly after Augustine's decision to come back to God, in fact, it was 9 days after that, his mother Monica died. Before her death, she told her son, "My mission is completed. My son who was lost has come home." Persistence. A belief in prayer. A belief that prayer makes a difference. Oh, my fellow parents, prayer does make a difference. Continue to pray for that child that they will come home. I hope and sincerely pray that these few thoughts will help you, will give you strength to keep believing in and keep trusting in God and His promises, and that God will give you courage to face whatever you face with your child. There's a saying that's been around for a long time that where there's life, there's hope. I'd like to say it a little differently this morning. Where there's God, there's hope. Where there's a God, there's hope. So my prayer for you is that the God of all comfort will hold you and strengthen you for each day. He loves you. And may His presence in your life bring you strength and guidance. I came across a letter that was written by Tony Campolo. And I think it speaks to what I'm trying to express here today. "Dear son, when we reflect on how Mom and I tried to channel your life, I hope you will think well of us. Undoubtedly, we made mistakes. We tried hard to do the best that we could. In the end, I don't think that parents play the determining role that they think they do in what their children become. Kids have wills of their own. We parents can provide experiences and training as best as we know how, but young people decide for themselves what to do with what parents give them. I think parents take far too much credit when their kids turn out great, and far too much blame when their kids mess up their lives. After all, God created two perfect children in Adam and Eve. He placed them in a perfect environment, yet both of them rebelled and did evil. Such can be the consequences of having children with wills of their own. I can only pray that you will continue to do the will of God. Love, Dad." Some may say, well, our parenting has ended when our children leave home. I don't believe that. I believe that as long as I'm alive, I need to set the right kind of example for my children. I need to use my will and my abilities to pray to God, to believe that God will take care of my children, to trust God, that the training and the teaching that they've received, they will not forget, and that will bring them back to the Lord one day. I pray every day for my children, and I know you do too. I pray for good Christian influences to come into their life. God, help them. Influence them. Touch their hearts. And God, help me to guard my heart. Help me to take care of my influence, my example before them. Help me to have wisdom in the words that I use, that I speak to them. Help me not to nag, but help me to encourage. Help me to support. Help me to believe that they will make the right decisions about life. And that's my prayer for you and your children. It could be today that you haven't set a very good example for your children spiritually. What are you saying to your children? Does God live in your house? Does God live in your life? Can your children see Christ living in you? If not, why not make the choice, the decision today, to put Christ back on the throne of your life? We're going to sing a song of encouragement here in just a moment. This might be the very time that you need to come down the aisle and rededicate yourself in service to the Lord. Or perhaps you're a parent and you're not a Christian. What kind of example are you setting for your children? Will they follow in your steps? Why not become a Christian today? Confess the beautiful name of Jesus before this audience. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Let the Lord add you to the church. And then walk a path that you'd be glad for your children to follow. Or it very well might be that you're a child today who has wandered away. It may be that you're that child in Luke 15. It may be that you're the child that God is looking for to come home today. Will you come home? As you're among those that love you and want what's best for you, will you come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement?